No, we just want to read one verse from God's word, from the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 6. Now, one was saying that there's a cup of tea after the meeting, which means that after we close the meeting in prayer, we'll sing a hymn. Just to give Simon some advance warning, he's going to have no problem working out what the hymn is that we'll sing after this. Chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul writing, and Paul telling the Galatians what motivates him as far as his service in preaching the gospel is concerned. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Can we read the verse again, please? "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." We know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Very simply this evening, what we want to try and do is to take us in our minds, and we trust in our hearts, to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To think about what it means. Paul's looking back. Perhaps at this time he might have been something more than 15 years. Just over 15 years since the day of his conversion. He's already spent some time in going around preaching the gospel. In fact, the background to this letter is that he had been round, he had seen souls saved, he'd seen churches established, and then he saw and heard, or rather heard, of those who came in and tried to undermine the gospel. Paul had preached the gospel that these people had believed and by which they were saved. And as he brings his message to a conclusion, he writes these words that should stand as the testimony of God for every one of us. Because if we cannot echo the words that Paul writes here, the solemn challenge is that we are almost certainly not on the way to heaven. We are still in our sins in the sight of God. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross, as Paul writes here, for he can look back and he can say, "There was a time when I recognized that the cross divided humanity. I saw the world." What do we mean by the world? Well, the world can take many forms. And Paul will bring before us, especially in the opening chapters of the Roman Epistle, he'll bring before us especially three different aspects of the world. At the end of Romans chapter 1, he brings before us a world that totally ignores God in all its dealings, that goes on in immorality and licentiousness, in total and utter rebellion against God. And I'm sure, as I look down on a company here tonight, you would all turn around to me and say, "Well, that is not me." But then in the opening verses of Romans chapter 2, Paul brings another company to us that are part of this world. And these are good living people, morally upright people, people who live according to their conscience in the sight of God. perhaps what we might today call the socially acceptable class of people. But as Paul looks at this company, and Paul brings the word of God to bear on such a company, he has to come to the same conclusion. They are still in a world that is alienated from God by sin and wicked works. And at the end of Romans chapter 2 and into chapter 3, he'll bring before us people who live and allow the word of God to guide them, and they try to keep to the law of God. And particularly he speaks of the Jews who boast in their keeping of the law of God. And he will point out again that they are still, in the words that we have in Galatians 6 and verse 14, a part of that world. Because they may keep, and they may be able to list off the commandments of God that they keep, but there will always come that commandment that they do not keep. And that whatever they might be able to say that they keep, the word of God brings its challenge to our hearts. In the words of James chapter 2, that if a man could keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And the conclusion comes when we come into Romans chapter 3 from verse 19. We read words like this: whatsoever things the law said, it said to them that are under the law, to what end? That every mouth should be stopped, and all the world should become guilty before God. Whether it is a world in rebellion against God, giving no thought to him, whether it is a world that is socially acceptable, living good lives as far as people around them are concerned, or whether it is a world that is religious and going through religious rituals to try and gain acceptance in the sight of God, the word of God comes clearly to every one of us that there is nothing that we can do by which we will be justified in the sight of God. When that day comes that we stand before God, if we're trusted in anything that we can do, it's going to be no value. As I was thinking of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, I was thinking of a question that was asked of the children at the Bible exhibition that was held last month in Glenrothes and has been held in a few places around. Name five places where Jesus was wounded. And as you went through, every one of them would have a challenge to us. Because every one of those five places speaks of ways in which we fall short of God's standard. The first was the back that was lacerated, that was whipped. Whether it be the Jews through the night as they had laid accusations against him, or whether it be the Roman scourge that beat his back. And as we think of the back, we think of strength. How many times, I'm sure I'm not alone in having been told, especially perhaps in the gymnasium at school or when playing games on the playing field at school, put your back into it, boy! Okay, perhaps for the women it was a question of being told, put your back into it, girl, but you know, it's true, isn't it? Put your back into it, give it some strength, put some energy into what you're doing. Listen to the words of Paul in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Paul's gone through the world, he's looked at everything that the world boasts in. He's shown that it just leaves us condemned in the sight of God without anything to bring as an answer to God. He then points us to the cross. And he says, when we were without strength, when we came to that point where we recognised that everything we could do, all the efforts we could make, all the energy we could put into our efforts to try and please God were never going to satisfy the heart of God. And when we come and we look and we say in utter hopelessness, I can't do it. I can't please God. I can't satisfy God. God points us to the cross and says, I don't ask you to satisfy me. When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And those wounds on his back would tell me that when I had no strength, there was one who was strong, who could take my place. There was one who was strong enough to stand and to take that judgment that I deserved. I've got no strength to save myself. But praise God, this evening we can point you to one who has the power to save. Again, thinking of another letter that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he'll point us to the cross of Christ, and he'll speak there of Christ, the power of God. He'll say, yes, as far as the world is concerned, they look at the cross. They say it's foolishness. They say it's weakness. God points us to the cross. And he says, here is the power of God manifest in a way that goes beyond anything that man could ever achieve. When the strongest of men, when the best of men, when the greatest of men have come to an end, here's a power that goes beyond. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul will speak of the last enemy, death. It's said of Alexander the Great that he, as he travelled east, conquering kingdom after kingdom, he came to this point in his experience where he looked, and it said that he wept because there was nothing more that he could find to conquer. And what happened just a little later? He fell prey to that one enemy that no one could conquer in their own strength. Just at the age of 32, he went into death. He could conquer every nation that stood in his way, every kingdom, every tribe that stood against him. He could overthrow them with the power of his army. But even just as a young man in his early 30s, he found he could not defy the power of death. What a solemn reminder to us, when we were yet without strength. In the words of Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And then we could think of the head. And that crown of thorns that was put on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think of the head, we think of the mind and we think of the intelligence. And we think of the thoughts of men. And we can go back to the beginning of our Bible. In Genesis chapter 6. We read there of that judgment of God that came on this world. Why? Because as God looked down from heaven, he saw that every thought of man was only evil. But then day later on, as the judgment had gone, as Noah and his family come out from the ark in chapter 8 of Genesis, and at the end of that chapter, as the Lord looks down and as Noah offers a burnt offering to the Lord of every clean beast, the promise of God comes that he will not again judge the world, because he recognized, the Lord God recognized, that the thoughts of man were only evil from his youth. But you know, that points to something far greater. The burnt offerings of Noah were just a picture to the heart of God of the offering that the Lord Jesus Christ would offer on the cross at Calvary. And God's word tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, we read verse 13, we read these words concerning the Lord Jesus, concerning his death on the cross. This man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The promise was given by God to Noah that he would not flood the earth again. He would not destroy the earth again with a flood. Today, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can echo the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And we can rest in that absolute assurance. We look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we see a God who knew the failings of our thoughts, those thoughts and intents of our heart. You know, Paul will describe it, won't he, in Romans chapter 7. He could compare his life against the law of God, against the Ten Commandments. 9 of those Ten Commandments dealt with things that were visible on the external. And Paul, like the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus while he was here on the earth, he could have said, all these things have I kept from my youth upwards. No one could point a finger at Paul as far as his outward character was concerned. But the 10th commandment went into the mind, into the heart, thou shalt not covet. You don't have to lie, you don't have to steal. You don't have to break any of those commandments that deal with the external. Have you ever wanted something that doesn't belong to you? Have you ever just wished that you could have something that wasn't yours? It may never even cross your mind to go and to take it, because you know it's not yours, but the very thought of wishing is covetousness that is breaking that 10th commandment. And so the thoughts are exposed. But what does that tell us as we look at the cross? God has looked at one who never had a simple thought. Listen to the words of Paul as he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, who never had a sinful thought. And we look at that cross, and we see that thorn crown brow, and we see the one there who never entertained this momentary thought of sin. And we see him taking all the guilt of our sin upon himself. Why? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 ends with these words. so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All our guilt, all our sin, put to his account. So that the righteousness of God could be put to our account. So that we could stand in the sight of God, vindicated not for what we are, but because of what Christ has done. Because of that offering that he made when he offered himself one sacrifice for sins forever. And listen to that word in Hebrews 10. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. It means that God is never going to call our sins into question. If we've come by faith to that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we've looked there and said, yes, I was there in the world, I was there in all my guilt, in all my sin, and he took it upon himself. I haven't got the strength to save myself. I haven't got the intellect, the power in my mind to overcome the sin that assails me. But I look to the one who can deliver. And I put my trust in him. When I was without strength, Christ died for me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the wonder of God's word. There at the cross, our Lord has taken upon himself all that we were, so that we can go free. Have you ever recognized that? We could think of hands. And as I think of the hands of the Lord Jesus, I'm reminded of the words of Peter. As he would preach of the Lord Jesus in the book of Acts, he speaks of him as one who went about doing good, healing all manner of sick. And we can follow the life of the Lord Jesus, and we can see the one who was looking for those in need, the one who was listening for those who cried. We see a leper, an unclean leper, coming to the Lord. And he falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what does he do? The Lord Jesus puts out his hand and touches him. I will. Be thou clean. We think of him taken into the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Jairus, his daughter had just died, a girl of 12 years old. He takes her by the hand, made arise, and she that was dead came back to life again, in full health and strength. And so we could follow that. We could see how many times he reached out to touch those in need and bring healing to the sick, life to the dead. And they took those hands and they nailed them to a cross. We don't want him. This man who went about doing good, this man who was always ready to help those in need. And they said, we don't want him. We've just sung those words, almost persuaded. I wonder tonight, as you look at the cross, do you recognize in the sight of God? In the words of David, we were shapen in iniquity. We were conceived in sin, defiled by sin from the moment of our birth. We are all as an unclean thing, in the words of Isaiah 64 and verse 6. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And the one who reached out to touch the unclean leper and healed him is waiting to reach out to you with that same hand to lift you up out of the uncleanness of your sin and to bring you back to himself. Through the blood of his cross, having made peace by the blood of his cross, we were thinking this morning, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Have you been reconciled to God from the sin and the uncleanness? Have you been lifted up from the death that left us helpless without strength? Have you felt, have you known that hand reach out to you to give you eternal life? Through faith in him, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Oh my friend, how sad. As the Saviour waits to reach out to you tonight, to think that there could be those who might go without Christ, almost persuaded, but never responding. Think of the feet. Romans chapter 3 will speak of the feet that were swift to shed blood. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 will tell us how God sees us all. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And then God points us to his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see one of whom God could say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." One who prayed, "Father, glorify thy name," and heard the voice come back, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The one, in the words of Peter, the one who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Every step was a step of perfection. There was no sin in him. And they took those feet and nailed them to the cross. A friend tonight, where would you stand? Would you rather go in the path of sin, walking away from God's salvation? Or would you look to that cross and see the one who suffered there so that you could be brought back to God? Or would you look at that cross and say, "That's my only hope. That's my only plea." The last place that he was wounded was in the side. The spear that went through his side, and as we think of how it would go through the side, in all probability it would have gone through the side and into the very heart of the Lord, that heart that was full of love. The manifestation of the love of God, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And we look at that cross and we see the full weight of our sin laid upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the awful anguish that he went through. The one who had always pleased God, who did those things that pleased God, who walked in a pathway that brought honour and glory to God, who never sinned in thought, in word, in deed. We see him there on that cross. And we hear the cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the answer comes back. It was for me. He was forsaken on that cross so that I need never be forsaken. He went to that abandoned place so that the joy of heaven could be mine eternally. Have you understood that? Have you come like Paul to that point where you say everything that I could possibly boast in counts for nothing? I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I've only got one thing to boast in. It's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that was wrong with me was put to his account on that cross. And I can stand now, not because of not in any merit of mine. I stand accepted in the Beloved One. All the acceptance, all the righteousness of God in Christ is put to my account, because all my sin and guilt was put to his account at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we think of that great day when we stand before God, or whether we think of how we conduct our lives in this world today, the challenge comes to us, what is our boast? What is our hope? Can we echo the words of Paul as he would say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing of any value to me. Without his cross, I'm nothing. Through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, I've been made a son of God, an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. A tremendous privilege. I couldn't earn it. I'll never deserve it. But God has given that to me in Christ, because of that day when I came to the cross and recognized it was the only hope I had. Shall we pray? Gracious God, again we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee that we've been able again to think of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To see there one who took everything that we were in all our sin, in all our guilt, in all our unworthiness, and dealt with it in a way that has satisfied thy throne eternally. We thank thee that we have the assurance that there is not one person, not one person in this hall, not one person in this world who needs perish. Because the cross of Christ answers the demands of thy throne for all who will believe. And so, our God, we just pray tonight it might please thee, that each one of us might echo the words of Paul, but especially that there might be some for the first time tonight who will be able to echo those words, God forbid, that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We look to thee then for thy blessing, as we commit ourselves to thee, thanking thee for time we're able to spend together, thanking thee for food too, for the body that thou hast provided for us. And we return our thanks now, as we commit ourselves to thee, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we take time to sing the words of Isaac Watts based on that verse 573, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Sit in for the words of 573, please.